Hey everybody, and welcome back to the mainstream. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and you know what? Joe Turk was one of the first people on the mainstream, I think, back in the day when I was doing this on Podbean or something, some other way I was doing it. But please welcome Joe Turk. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, pretty good. Yeah, it was one of the first episodes, I think, or the first season, maybe.
It was
I
the
can't
first
remember.
season. I don't remember what episodes necessarily, but apparently there's only one season of it, and this is the second season. So I think because they're already been doing a Hollywood Boulevard podcast and
Yeah.
it's a little similar, I thought I would just do that and everything. But I've decided that this we could have some fun with this one, and so I decided to. So this, as everybody knows, we decided to do the Karate Kid franchise, and we're. I think I'm even gonna do the freaking terrible one. The
Which
was
one's that?
the remake, you know.
Part four or five or
No, the
remake?
remake. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think I'm gonna have to do that. I've never even seen it, but I've heard so many bad things. If I like it, I'm gonna be so mad at myself, like, because I almost feel like it's cheating, you know.
Well, it's probably one of those things, even if it's slightly bad, that it's been talked so bad on that seeing it now, it might not be it, we might be like pleasantly surprised, because I haven't seen it either, and I guess
No.
it's part of the canon now, I guess, because they're supposedly bringing it all together. But
We'll
in any
see.
case,
No
I'm going to
offense
give it
though,
a shot.
I'm not a big fan of Jaden Smith as a person. As an actor, he still hasn't. I still am not a fan, but I think Jaden Smith and you know just never interested me as a you know as an actor, but
Keep his name out of your mouth. That's his dad.
yeah, that would be his dad telling me that. But you know what? You know, maybe you'll turn me around. I don't know. I just always thought it's
I can't say one way or another. I think I've only seen him in, was it After Earth? Probably the only thing I've seen him in, and maybe something else. But
right.
I guess, yeah, to be a completist with the whole series and stuff like that, it's probably a good idea to see it.
Yeah, and I think I'm gonna end up reviewing on mainstream on the mainstream. I'm gonna be reviewing the next one, the newest one when that comes out. So that'll be a fresh one. But I'm hoping this lasts up until then, you know, or whatever, doing the Karate Kid ones and whatnot. We'll see how it goes. And we're gonna be doing Cobra Kai. I'm trying to bring as many of the guests that special guests that have, you know, that partaken in this. And bring them back for that, you know, that should be fun. So we'll
That would be fun if you got each person from like part each of the four parts or five parts. If you do the other movie and stuff like that,
that'd be four,
if you
five. Yeah,
it'd be
five parts. Yeah.
yeah
So we'd have
if you
five
brought
special
everybody
guests
together,
and me. That would
we
be an
have like we
interesting
yeah.
thing.
It'd be like a round table. You have to have a referee giving people time to
Well,
talk and stuff.
moderator, yeah, it'd be me as the
Yeah.
moderator. I'd be telling people, all right, yeah, you know, what do you think? You know, and I think that's gonna end up being the thing. And then I don't know who I'd have for the remake reboot or whatever, but probably a new special guest for that. But anyway, I'm really excited to talk about this because if you know a lot of people who know me personally, and I think Joe, you've known this, but I wasn't a fan of the first or the Karate Kid Part Two. Like, I always liked Karate Kid One and then Three and then Two. Wait, no, I actually usually put the next Karate Kid above Two, and then Two would be like that was normally my ranking, was like last was Part Two, and
I think
then.
he's mentioned something about that in the Cobra Kai discussions that we had a while back, but yeah, that's you must have been really just having a off day when you saw part two originally, or maybe it was just because you saw it as a kid.
I saw it as a kid. I don't really like all I remember was going to Okinawa and a couple of the cool scenes. I as a kid, I just wasn't attracted to that landscape and stuff and the history and the amazing, breathtaking stuff, you know, in it. Like I just it wasn't for me at the time as a kid. Like I wanted the Karate Kid to be bullied in America. I basically wanted a remake of the first one, just done with all the same cast, basically, which is kind of what we get in part three. Like, it's close enough where it's, it has a similar thing. This movie, I never realized or never thought about it or whatever. This movie is very much, a continuation, but also sort of feels like, they redo a lot of the same tropes from the first movie,
Yeah.
And I didn't mind that. Like, I really liked it. Go
Yeah.
ahead.
Well, I remember that they were wrestling with whether they were going to do what became part three as two, or what they did as part two as part three. So it was like which one was going to be done in which order. But personally, I'm glad they did this one because to me, this is sort of like now I'm not going to put it in the class, obviously, like Godfather 1 and 2. They're sort of like bookends to each other. But that's the way I view Karate Kid in this world. It's like sort of a bookend movies together to me. And then 3 and 4 is a little different story for me. But 2 really resonates with me as a nice continuation of part one, like you were saying.
So I guess we'll start at the beginning of the story. So we have like we were talking about it earlier on the phone that basically there's this big ass recap of the first movie that kind of, I mean, it's for the whole main credits, but like they kind of drag it out. Like it's a lot of, stuff that explains sort of, it's like, oh, in case you missed number one, we'll fill you in, and it's going to be a lot of, stuff that might come back later, or whatever.
It was like 5 minutes, I think. It was just the recap before they did the post-tournament scene. But yeah, I think it was the recap with the opening credits was like 5 minutes long, of highlights, if you will, with the music and the credits.
And then, as you said, it's the post tournament. So we see that Daniel LaRusso has kicked Johnny in the face, which should be a di the people have said many times that should have been disqualification. But I mean, technically, you're not supposed to kick anybody in the face. Like that's not. I've been, and I talked about this on the last Karate Kid one I did with John Ward. But I was in, I was in karate, but I've done tournaments, I've actually gotten gold belts in tournaments and AAU tournaments. So I didn't win a big giant trophy because that's not what they had. They had medals, and stuff. And at the AAU ones. And so I would go there and practice. I think I got a gold trophy for katas, and I don't know if I did very well for kumite, like he did. I'm not the Karate Kid. Never was the Karate Kid. I did get bullied in middle school. I did, not very much in high school, but which you'd think that's the place where you do get bullied a lot more, but no, not for me. It was more middle school for me. And I learned karate, and so I sort of knew how to defend myself if I really felt like I was in extreme danger. If I felt like, I couldn't talk my way out of it or something. And that thankfully that's never happened. I've been able to run, which, as we find out in this movie, that's a cowardly thing to do, I bet. But what's the line in him? He's like, the best block is not be there,
The best defense is no be there or something like that.
Well, you said the best block is no be
Yeah, the
there,
best.
and I thought that was the he was like, because Daniel's son was so confused by that, by that saying, but like that totally makes sense. The best block is to not be there, that's what were
Well,
you saying?
I don't have the karate background that you do, and so for me, it's more or less taking it for what it is, and it's interesting to hear saying that that would have been a foul, if you will, the winning kick against Johnny.
Yeah, if I had kicked somebody in Kumite in the face, they would have just automatically disqualified me.
And the guy who, well, I mean, obviously it was a signature move and everything like that, but if I remember correctly, the one who played the referee, Pat Johnson, he was the choreographer, the karate instructor basically on set. So
I'm sure you told them that. I'm sure you told them that, and they were just like, it's gonna look great. Just kick him in the face.
the move was so cinematic that they had to and they he tries it in a real life scenario in part two. Doesn't go so well there, but
Well, yeah, I mean, I think even in part three he tries the crane kick again, you know, it's just like, and it doesn't work, doesn't fly. Like the first time he was lucky that that worked because the guy was just not expecting it. But I don't know. I guess more people kind of are aware of, like, when you put your feet up there, that the next thing you're gonna do is try to kick off the other one, you know. But yeah.
The opening scene of of this one,
The
take
very famous
the
opening
recap.
scene.
It's supposedly Martin Cove really bloodied his hand on that take. That's really he really cut himself on one of the takes. Maybe not from the glass there, but he did really that was real blood in one of the shots.
Nice.
Because he really
A
did do
method
that. But
actor.
I know, right? That whole sequence, I think it does so well because it sort of gives a little wrap around to the Cobra Kai characters. It shows Kreese and how he's just going to run off, and that actually sets up part three nicely for that part of it. But with Johnny, I really liked it that he's like, I did the best I could. I came in seconds, or yeah, I came in. He's like, you're a loser and stuff like that. But to me, that was kind of it showed his character as being not. I know we argue about who's the good guy, who's the bad guy in a previous podcast, but this one here, it showed his character really turn a corner. Now they reconned it a little bit with the fallout for Cobra Kai, but I mean, it seemed like he turned a corner and became somewhat of a decent guy, and became sort of the victim, if you will, in his one little scene. I mean, it was very, very short.
I mean, I agree, but also I always thought that was such a weird thing because, like, even as a kid, I always thought that was weird that Johnny just sort of turned all of a sudden. You know, like, okay, so when we reviewed Karate Kid, I believe that John Ward and I brought up on this last one that when he does that, you sort of see Johnny at the end of the tournament kind of turn into this nicer guy, right? Like nicer version of himself. Because at one point, he's like, sweep the leg, right? And then he gives him like a look, like, you know, what? You know,
I
right?
think that's when he's apt to realize that he was. I think that's when Johnny realized that he was what was right, what was wrong. So
Right.
he
And
knew.
that was it. That was it. That was the connection. That was where he turned. So then at the end, he could have that big, you know, like, hey, man, but then I still to this day think Johnny wouldn't have been like that. Johnny had never shown in any of Karate Kid that he was a nice guy, you know, that he had even a little bit of a heart, right? So that's where people go and say, oh, Johnny was the one who got bullied. Johnny is the, you know, Johnny's this nice guy. But like, show me another scene where in Karate Kid before the tournament where he's a nice guy to Danny. You know, like, show me
Well,
that.
maybe not to Danny, but he tried it with Allie. He tried to be nice, but as soon as it didn't go well, he turned. So, I mean,
I
he was
don't know. I
very he was a
don't. Well,
very
I mean, he was, you know, at the dance, he was very sweet to her in part one, you know, and everything to Allie. But like, that's because he wants to become her boyfriend again. Like, he's just manipulating her. He was back then a really terrible person. However, you know, the way Cobra Kai makes it, and spoilers for Cobra Kai if you haven't seen it, which, you know, it's on like what, fifth season, sixth season, going on sixth season. So if you haven't seen it by now, that's your fault. But anyway, you know, Cobra Kai, they kind of take him and turn him into this, you know, sort of misunderstood guy, which I think is what people have been trying to say. Like, he's misunderstood, and they try to show him he's got a terrible stepdad, he's got a terrible life, his life, life in high school wasn't the one that oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to switch over.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. He's just switching over his microphone or whatnot, his earphones. I
There.
will. All right. So what I'm saying is, like, they show him sort of have this terrible life, right? He has this stepfather who hates him, and this other shit that's going on that in high school really affected his personality and sort of. And then he had this coach, this terrible sensei, who was guiding him, like somebody he trusted, who kind of taught him the worst way, which is strike first, strike hard, no mercy, right? Which is n strike first. No, it's the exact opposite of what Miyagi's class teaches. And that's the first. Now, people say, oh, well, Danny goes into the bathroom and does the whole thing and instigates that. I mean, he's protecting himself before something happens, because if he's at that dance and Johnny catches him, when he leaves that dance, he's gonna get beat up anyway, So he's just going, he's doing what Johnny does. So people say he was, use that as an example, then they, people always forget the scene where Johnny and the gang throw him off the hill. You know what I mean? Nobody ever talks
Well,
about how much of a bully he really was.
I think Johnny's a flawed character, but I wouldn't necessarily say that he's all bad. He's very misguided. He has a lot of bad traits, but I think he's also manipulated, obviously, by Kreese. But to make in a lot of movies, you have a defined good guy and a defined bad guy. And to simply say Daniel was a good guy, a straight good guy, and Johnny was a straight bad guy, I think there's a blurred lines. And I think what they hint at in Karate Kid, I don't know if they did it intentionally, but they really struck gold on it in Cobra Kai to really go into that and go into the mindset and the perspective, because that's just the way that they portray those characters. I'm not trying to say that Johnny was a good guy, because he wasn't, but I think that he was a flawed character who was very misguided and manipulated by a lot of things. And I think that he had a maybe it was a little over the top with him turning at the end, or I'll say turning, but just acknowledging it. But I like that. I like that they showed that, and I like the way that they handle it at the beginning of part two, because it truly shows that he had turned, or at least realized he turned. Now his life went to crap, as Cobra Kai talks about at the beginning, because he has so many trouble over the
Because he
years.
lost the tournament, and he got kicked out of Cobra Kai. Like, his life was just not what he wanted.
But I thought it was nice closure for his story, from so part two could go on without him, and all of Cobra Kai for that matter. But at that point, it's more about, okay, so they set up they have a little point with Kreese, and then it's sort of what's going to be the next steps with Miyagi and Daniel, moving forward into part two.
So before we get into all that, because we will, because obviously all that gets goes into that after, the Miyagi and Kreese scene where he protects Johnny, and because at one point, Kreese gets really upset and starts choking Johnny, and they say, "You're killing him, you're gonna kill him,"
And
basically.
Johnny's tapping out too. He's tapping, like what's supposed to be to give the it's a surrender, so it's supposed to be over at that point. But Kreese doesn't
But
recognize
Chris, no,
rules.
or Chris doesn't care, because Chris is so pissed off that his group lost to, and man, they use some derogatory remarks in that. I'm gonna
Oh
say
yeah.
this out loud, but just know I am not condoning this word
I
or
don't know. I
this.
don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll just go beep, because we know what it was. I know where you're going. I think I know which
Okay,
word you're going
well,
to use.
if you haven't seen it, I mean, if you have seen it, you probably know exactly which word is the S word that I will not say.
Yeah,
And
it's about Miyagi, and it was just,
it's an Asian derogatory remark, and it was nasty, and it just shows Kreese is, even after all this, after he lost and everything, he doesn't have any, honor, and really honor is what this movie is all about, like part two. So he's about to kill him, basically. It looks like he's about to attack him, and then he just honks. He says the whole lines of mercy is for the weak,
An
man.
enemy, an enemy deserves no mercy.
Mercy. And then he goes, ah, honk. And then kind of drops them and lets them go. And my favorite line in that was where I think I even posted on Facebook, where Daniel is like, you could have killed him. Well, why didn't you? Like, first of all, I'm thinking, why didn't you? Because it's against the law to kill someone. Like, do you want your sensei to go to jail? Like, that wasn't, he can't claim self-defense on that one, But anyway, he was like, why didn't you? And he goes, because a man with no forgiveness in his heart has a worse suffering than death, and stuff. And I thought that was really great because, yeah, he it sort of shadow foreshadows what we're gonna see with Santo and Chosen later. But we haven't even, we haven't even met these guys yet. We don't even know any, like, we don't know this stuff is about to happen. If you haven't seen this movie, you don't know about Chosen, you don't know about Santo, unless you watch Cobra Kai before you watch this, which, some kids might have. I don't know. The Cobra Kai could be the show that gets them into Karate Kid, for all I know. But anyway, yeah, so they go off and, so sort of describe what happens next.
Okay, so after the tournament's over, forwards about, it says 6 months later, and it shows Miyagi actually doing the fly routine with the chopsticks from part one, but he catches it. So it's already showing continued growth of his character. So, and that he's finding, he has that inner peace, and that he's, or perceived inner peace at that moment anyways, because it's, his life's about to be turned upside down.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's nice and peaceful. And then Daniel pulls up in the car, and it's all beat up, and which I think, it was real quick the way that he talked about that Allie wrecked it, and that she's run off with a football
Yeah, they
player or
just
something
had
like
to
that.
explain why he's single again,
Yeah, they wrote
which.
her character off, because she was, I mean, she wouldn't have fit with them going to Okinawa one, and it made him available for potential love in this one too. And it was a way for them to get Elizabeth Shue, because she couldn't, obviously she wasn't in it because she was doing some schooling or something like that. She was finishing her degree or something in Harvard or one of the big schools.
I
Yeah,
wonder
she
if
was
that's
finishing.
why, like, I mean, I guess if he had already decided he was gonna go to Okinawa, then she, like, he's not gonna bring her, or whatever. There's just no, unless they wanted to set up that Allie was his gonna be eventually be his future wife. But really, it got to be like, I always kind of describe it like Zach Morris, every episode had a new girlfriend,
Yeah, because that's what he did with the three here, and then he has his
Well,
wife in Cobra
two,
Kai.
and then and third one, he didn't actually end up dating her or anything. And I told John about this, and he was shocked to hear this, but I found out some information about that. Apparently, after this movie, I don't know when exactly, what year, but Ralph Macchio got married to his wife, and it was right before part three. And she did not want him dating anybody, or not dating anybody. Like, she obviously didn't want him dating. She didn't want him dating anybody in a TV show, like she or a movie or whatever. Like, she didn't want a romantic interest. So in part three, he said he would come back, but only if he didn't have a romantic interest at all. So that's why Robin Lively's character is a is more of a friend. You know, they never end up kissing, they never end up holding hands or touching much, you know, or whatever. You know, it was very much like they were just friends, and she was going to be there for that summer or whatever it was, and then she had to, you know, then she had to leave, you know, and stuff, and that was already all set up. So it's interesting because in Cobra Kai they do bring her back, but you know, and she's like good friends with his wife, you know, in that, and I thought that was very cute that, you know, they stayed in touch, they became friends, and then because years later, I believe his wife did say, okay, you can have a wife, but if you watch Cobra Kai, I don't think they kiss at all, you know. I don't think.
I don't remember anything memorable. Usually they're at odds with their opinions.
Yeah, usually they're fighting or something, you know, which I mean, people might say that's very much what a marriage is like, but it, you know, it was it's no it doesn't feel romantic, you know, and everything. And
They had a couple moments, I think, where they were kind of lovey-dovey, but in general, it's really not.
yeah.
But with part two, everything's set up to where it's like, okay, they've written Allie out, so he's completely free of a mind, free mind to do whatever he's going to do. And but at the beginning of part two, he's going to have to move with his mom out of the area for the summer or something like that.
Yeah,
And
for 2 months, I think it was.
but Miyagi works it around to where he's going to be able to stay in the outhouse, and or not outhouse, but you know, the not the
Jesus.
outhouse. Geez, that'd go a whole different direction.
Yeah, you know, where am I gonna be staying, Mr. Miyagi? In the outhouse. I don't even
He
want
was
you near my house.
there you go. He's building the guest house.
Yes.
The guest house is being built.
And I love that scene where he's like, oh, I know how to take your mind off of this stuff. Work, you
Yeah,
know?
he's like, well, you can give me, why you always give me to work whenever I have problems?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, but and I've still never been able to master that trick that he does with that hammer and the nail. It's just like that, boom. But I
You
mean,
need
that's
to
kind of
focus,
cool.
man. You need to go.
I don't have that focus. I would be the one that would break my hand on the first sheet of ice, and if I was trying to
Oh,
break through multiple levels.
yeah. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
So they're at the they're building the guest house thing, and the mail guy comes. Gives the letter, and that sort of opens the door of saying that Miyagi's find out that his dad's in failing health, and who the letters, I think they mentioned who the letter's from, but we don't know really her
We don't
Yuki's
know who Yuki is really.
at
Like,
that moment until we get there.
yeah, because like the first movie sort of shows off his other life. Like his, it does mention that his dad was a fisherman and that his dad was, you know, taught him karate, did all these things. Because at that one point, even they show in the flashback where it's like, wow, you had some dad, you know, right? And so he, he ended up what is it going he ends up finding out about Yuki, but he doesn't, which by the way, that mailman was freaking hilarious. I love that guy because he was like, oh, my wife would love to see this, can she come over? And like Mr. Miyagi is like, go away, you know, kind of thing. And he's like, oh,
Or perhaps some other
maybe
time.
yeah, perhaps some other time. He walks away and I'm like, that was great. See, just
It's a nice little cameo for a little
yeah,
small,
a small walk-on role that, like, you know, like it, that would be like today, that would be like an Indiegogo kind of role where somebody would get,
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
get asked to come in. And it's a memorable scene to me. Like, I remembered it, you know, after it happened. It's not like that guy, you know, went away. It's just because it was so well written where, and I think the original writer of Karate Kid wrote this one, Robert Mark Kamen. And he did such a great job coming back, you know.
Yeah, and that and to your point with the mailman, he was not really, I mean, he didn't do anything like crazy over the top. It was the flow of the scene. It just fit
Was
perfectly.
just
And
the
it was,
script. It was just the writing in it.
and that guy on the one day role just sort of nailed it. He was there
Yeah.
for one day probably, and that was it. I mean, I don't see why
Yeah.
he would have been there for anything else, but
I hope he puts that on his reel, you know.
there you go. There you go.
Shows off he
So
was
yeah,
there.
so So Daniel is sort of the next day when he's supposed to be there at 6:30. Miyagi's like waiting at the taxi. He's like, I guess I got to go. I'm like, the first time I saw it, I was like, damn, he's leaving him out, hung out the dry. He's not Daniel's not even there, but he shows up at the airport and
Well, he showed
obviously.
up to airport to say, like, he was supposed to go say goodbye, which I was wondering, like, had he even finished with the guest house? So, like, was he not planning to? I guess they were not planning. He was going to plan to go to Fresno, right? Then, like, oh, well, I guess I got to go to Fresno because you're going off to
Yeah, because
Okinawa.
Miyagi wasn't going to be there. He was going to be
Yeah.
gone. So yeah,
Though it
so
would have been an interesting movie had he said, oh, you can stay at my house. You know, right, and everything while I'm away and everything, and the Karate Kid's just partying and fighting all the girls over.
Karate Kid 2 became Daniel's house party.
Yeah, pretty much a house party
Well,
six, you know.
Well, the interesting thing when you say that, it when I was watching it yesterday, for God knows how many times I've seen this movie now, it made me really think, and I've seen this before, but it's not, Daniel's really the second character in this movie. It's
Right.
really Miyagi's story, and that's really different than part one, obviously, because it's Miyagi has to go there to deal with his dad's failing health, and then the whole introduction of Sato and all that stuff, and then secondary becomes Daniel with Chosen, but I mean the ultimate payoff is with Daniel, obviously, because he is the Karate Kid, if you will. But it seemed like the bulk meat of the story is driven by Miyagi's journey, if you will, in
yeah,
this one.
I mean,
And that's and
this
that
was
and
a
I
very
thought that was cool.
Miyagi-centered story. Yeah,
and I thought that was cool. But they so
I
Daniel
think.
talks.
Hold on,
Go
real
ahead.
quick though. I just want to say it because then before I forget. That I think the reason being that they decided to do that was Miyagi became the favorite. Not saying that Ralph Macchio and Daniel wasn't a great character. I think it's always, you know, it's like Empire Strikes Back. People don't remember Luke as much as they remember Yoda. You know, Yoda is this character that shows up. All of a sudden, people are like, I want him everywhere. You know, I want, what is up with like short people who, you know, kick ass? I don't know. Bruce Lee, Miyagi, and Yoda, you know, they're all
There you go.
there you go. Anyway, I think that's it. I think that like he
Well,
became more the favorite, so they, you know,
yeah,
wanted him to
and,
come.
and they really needed to tell a story that, I mean, because Daniel's character wasn't at a point of being a center of story growth. They had more story to go with Miyagi, but I like the scene where Daniel persuades him that he can go with them and stuff, and he says he spent his money on his tuition money for it, which I thought was kind of cool. And this is something good with writing they do later on in the story when they win some of the money back. When win some of the money, Miyagi gives it to him and says it's to reimburse the college education and stuff like that. So little things like that, it just fits nicely into the story. So anyways, they're heading to Okinawa, which looked a lot awfully lot like Hawaii, but anyways,
Right.
I filmed in Hawaii, but
Oh, the movie
anyways,
was filmed in Hawaii, not
I
actually.
believe it was filmed in Hawaii. Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
I wish they had
Yeah.
been able to shoot actually in Okinawa.
Well, I think Okinawa in the late 1980s probably had some world issues, I think. Probably was a good way to say it. But when they get there to Okinawa, though, it's like they're introduced to they're just looking to get a ride to the village and stuff like that, and that's when they run into Chosen, and I was like, okay, well, they're gonna get a ride in it, but you can just see from his look that it's just very, very menacing, and the way Chosen's interacting with his friend, it was just sort of like something's a change, some things haven't, and they're just laughing. It's just like, yeah, they're up to no good. And then they basically go into this warehouse. I was like, this is very ominous. It's like, what's going on here? And then Sato emerges. And
Oh God,
and
that. So yeah, so we got the. Also, by the way, we forgot. I think we like remember when we saw Sato breaking the wood and
oh
at the when they first show up,
Yeah, on the billboards.
And yeah, and he says, can you break wood like that? And he goes, I don't know, never been attacked by a tree.
Don't know,
And
never been attacked by a tree.
I love it. I love that line. But like, did you realize like that foreshadowed his later, he breaks the wood, you know, to save Sato's life. So like, good
And Sato,
writing.
yeah, and Sato didn't even could never break the wood that him and Miyagi found years before when they had that scene where they were. He's like, Miyagi's like, "Is this the same wood that we found at the beach years before?" And he's like, "Same." I'm like, oh gosh. But to your point, Sato breaks it at the beginning, and he's the powerful, appearing to be the powerful guy. But Miyagi's the one that saves him by breaking wood at the end, the
Right.
wood.
And like that was, yeah, he breaks the wood where it looks like he's, well, we'll get to that. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
But
I mean,
the foreshadowing
tremendous.
elements
But
is
that
that's
makes a
strong
great,
writing.
yeah, where it makes a great script is where, you know, I was even talking to someone about this yesterday. I said, you know that line where if you introduce a gun in Act One, it better go off by Act Three, right? You know, that's this was you introduce somebody breaking wood in the first act, it better go off by Act Three, you know, and that's literally what happens. By Act Three, we get we get the breaking of the wood and everything in it
Yeah,
worked out perfect.
there's strong storytelling elements all throughout it, because there's a scene where I know we're going, this is sort of in the middle of the movie, but where he's Daniel's walking with the girl down the street to go to the rest, there's sightseeing or whatever, and then they're like, and he's like, oh, we might see Mr. Miyagi around the corner here, because he had to go pick up a piece for the refrigerator that he was repairing a few scenes earlier, which makes sense. And that works out well, because when Daniel goes into that the gambling bar with the ice and everything like that, she knows right where Kumiko knows right where to go
Right, yeah.
to find Miyagi. So it's like it was strong storytelling in the midst of a walking scene. So there was positive moving forward, but yet it transitioned to something
And
that paid off in a future scene.
it didn't feel like it was exposition, you know?
Exactly.
Like you see some of the if it was written by a hack writer, like a really terrible writer, they'd be like, "Oh, did you know that Mr. Miyagi is over there?" Sitting over, oh, is he right there? Okay, you know what I mean? Like, you know, where it's very plain to see. This was just like normal dialogue people say, like of like, you know, hey, you know, we might run into Mr. Miyagi. Oh, well, why? Where's he supposed to be? Oh, he's supposed to be there. Oh, hey, that's like or blocking a, you know, block up the street. Oh my God, we might run into him. And then later she actually runs to get him, you know. So yeah,
Now
very, very strong.
everybody appeared in that scene really quickly, which was a little convenient, but that's that
Oh,
where
that also
Sato
yeah,
appeared.
we'll get to
Yes.
that in
Yeah,
a second. Yeah.
but so anyways, rewinding back to when Sato emerges from the in the warehouse, he basically tells him that you see your father, then you see me. And it's like, okay. And then Miyagi's like not even bothered by it. He's just like, I'm just gonna go find my way to the village. And then they go to so they get a taxi and they go to the village. But the village it's kind of sad, because that you see the village, but they stop it at there's like a military base there, and there's like fencing all up beside the village, and the village is basically this like relic in like just buried in the corner by itself. And it
Yeah,
was
well,
kind
there's
of
this
and the
castle
airmen
that's
yeah
like on its own, like a little island, it looks like, and
yeah
you know, which Sato owns like
yeah
everything, you know,
Yeah,
apparently.
and Sato owning everything is so reflective of his heart was broken, because in his eyes, his friend betrayed him by not allowing by getting in the way of the arranged marriage and stuff like that, and arranged whatever. And so he just became a bad and he even says it in his cleanup at the end, where he says, hate was wrong, I was wrong, and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
he comes clean of it, but the whole village is basically being kept under his finger, like under his stranglehold, because of him perceived his pride, his honor was hurt And that just shows the level of importance that honor has to some,
Right.
to should be to everybody, but especially to some cultures.
And you know what? It goes back to what we were talking about with Johnny and everything, of them sort of turning a 180 and everything. But in this, they really show Sato being a pretty good guy. Like, he's a knight, you know, other than this this hang up in the past with Miyagi, you know, and everything, and wanting to fight him and everything, and just not being able to get over it, which I mean, I get it if you're upset that, like, this dude broke up your relationship, basically, you know, with somebody you were excited to be married to, just because, you know. And, and it goes to that whole thing of, like, a lot of times there's that, maybe there might be like that little triangle where two guys like the same girl. And I've had it happen where I've liked the same girl as somebody else, and now we're no longer friends because, you know, we're both competing for the same person. And, you know, at the end of the day, it turns out, like, you know, we were both wrong, you know, for that kind of thing. Like, friendship should always sort of come first. And so, but the whole time, Miyagi's still friends. Like, he still calls him a friend, and he says, you know, you gotta stop this stuff. So, you know, but he sort of shows the changes a little bit at times, where he's like, you know, he's the bad guy because he's telling, you know, Miyagi wants to fight him, but then he's doing nice things, and he's being not, you know, he's being respectful. He's doing all these things. And Miyagi's just kind of stuck there dealing with the stuff while he's just trying to see his father before his father passes, you know?
And that's a really hard scene to watch when the dad passes, because Sato and Miyagi were out in the street basically getting ready to, Sato was confronting him, basically saying, we're going to fight now and we're going to do this now. And then Yukie comes in and says, hey, you got to come quick. And so they go in there, and the dad, on his dying bed, puts their two hands together. And it's like, and he's just holding their two hands together as he dies. And you just see, as soon as he passed away, how Sato so violently just pulls his hand away from Miyagi's.
And it's like, he can't, even with this, you know, he can't, he can't be friends with somebody who he feels betrayed him.
But Yukie never really loved him, so it doesn't seem that way anyway. So it's like, it was never a,
well, they never got married. They never,
it was just an arranged thing.
They should have gotten married, if, you know, because even Miyagi thought that they ended up getting married, right? That's why he left. You know,
and she said, no, I never married. Basically, she's like, my love was you, and it wasn't going to happen, so I never married. And that lights up Miyagi. I mean, but it also hurts him. He's just like, wow. That was my true love. And
I was kind of disappointed that he Miyagi and Daniel didn't bring Yuki and Miko down to, you know, back to America, when they both talked about it to the women, you know, like, this wasn't like, I mean, not like set up or anything. Though
they never talked about it in part three? Did they neither one?
I think they do.
It.
I think they kind of mention what Kimiko is doing, but they don't mention Yuki.
Okay.
They do mention, I think she got some job. I think she is in, she was, did go to America or something, but like New York, you know, or something, and couldn't make it to California to be with him, you know, or whatever.
Well,
I have to rewatch it. So
I can't remember if they mentioned her in part three or not, but that was one of the great things with Cobra Kai, that I was so great to see when they brought Kumiko in for that one or two scenes with Daniel. And it was just like, it felt like closure to part two that I never had received. And that she moved forward, and she said she never married either. But she got her dream of teaching, of dancing and teaching dance. And that
right,
was,
which
that
I
was
think
her
is
dream.
What happened, I think, is like, she got a gig doing dance classes or dance stuff in New York, but not in, California. So it really pissed off Daniel again, because it's all about Daniel. I mean, I hate to say it, but Daniel
Oh,
is
and Cobra
very,
Kai, yeah.
so even like, yeah, even with Cobra Kai, but like even with this whole franchise, Daniel is such a self-absorbed little brat, like it's always, oh me, oh me. I mean, okay, look, Allie meeting a quarterback that she liked better than him. Okay, I get that, but most of the other stuff that happens, or whatever, is because he's just all thinking about himself. They do bring that sort of into Cobra Kai, but he kind of learns from a lot of that and grows. And that's the wonderful thing about TV shows, that expands, seasons. So you get to really, the character gets to change and grow and change and grow throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, so but looking at in Cobra Kai, the way they closed Kumiko's story out was really good, because that's something that I always left wanting. They introduced the other girl, the girl that almost died on the tower, ringing the bell. They showed her. That was a cute little cameo,
Oh, she was in
showing that.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, she was with Kumiko at the scene where they had lunch or something like that. One
Was
of the
it the
scenes,
same girl, I wonder?
I believe it
Same
was.
actress?
Yeah, same
That's
girl who
funny.
played. Yeah, that. So I mean, that was like sort of, I'll say, sugar on top sort of type of thing to the story. But that they closed Kumiko's story, and in Cobra Kai, how Chosen is rehabilitated, if you will,
Well,
because in this movie he's not good at all.
yeah, and he
And
doesn't have that redeeming ending like what's his name does, Johnny does.
yeah,
Like
exactly. I mean,
Johnny has that sort of like, you did you're not that bad, LaRusso, kind of thing at the end, where he's like, kind of congratulating him and being this nicer guy. He's got a little bit of a redemption at the end of that, and in the beginning of this, where he's just like, dude, I got second place, it's not, I'm not a loser or anything, and second place is a loser, and shit like that. And so he has that kind of redeeming quality, chosen throughout the whole thing, even to the point where he could have helped Daniel out. He could have, and he even saw that Sato and Miyagi were cool, like something was there. And then he said, no, I'll not help. I will not help coward. And I'm like, dude, be forgiven. You should,
Yeah.
like, what is wrong with you?
Well, Daniel got his Kumiko wasn't necessarily his girl, but he sort of hinted at like how much she liked him. So he probably had like an underlying thing for.
He
I
had a
think they
crush
mentioned
on
it.
her, but I don't
I
think she
think they
liked
mentioned
him.
something in Cobra Kai that did they ever talk or something like that. But his character, though, it was just so. It was bad, and I think that was just an extension of Sato for at the moment. But there was that good side of Sato was never found in Chosen until Cobra Kai,
Right.
when they rehabilitated his character.
You make a good point. This continues that trend of bad. Bad teacher teaches students bad stuff. Even Karate Kid Part 3 had Terry Silver teaching him how to just kill somebody, right? And everything, teaching him nasty stuff, because that's Cobra Kai for you anyway. But like this other version is like Sato, who is sort of like the John Kreese of Okinawa. He's sort of this bitter, nasty guy. Cobra Kai, thankfully, we get to sort of understand Kreese a little bit more, why he is, and even he gets a little bit of a redemption, toward, later seasons or whatever, where he starts realizing even Terry is worse than he is, and
Yeah,
everything.
because I think ultimately, out of everything, out of this entire series through Cobra Kai, now Silver's the only really true villain now. I mean, Kreese is still bad, but
I wonder
obviously,
if they'll
but
do a 180 on him in the next season.
well,
That'll
who
be
else are they going to bring
interesting.
in? That's going to bring some. That'd be kind of weak, though, I would think, if they try to introduce some new character as the ultimate baddie, and then everybody right off in the sunset is happy as good
Yeah.
characters, or
So I
that'd
guess
be
you
kind
need
of.
that one over because, and that's so weird because in part three, it was still Kreese was still the bad guy. Terry was doing terrible shit and everything, but it was because those guys were like best buddies, in Nam. And now all of a sudden, he has, or wasn't Nam, was it? It was,
It was either Nam or Korea. I can't remember which
yeah,
one.
I mean, it was Korean War, I believe. Because I think both of them, I think both Miyagi also fought for the Korean War, and so or something, I don't know, but whatever. But they those two fought side by side, Terry and and Kreese, and yeah, so those guys sort of get a little bit of whatever, and Terry becomes the ultimate villain. But everybody sort of gets some kind of redemption at some point or another, which I like.
And hearing where their perspectives are from, you get to see that more in Cobra Kai,
Oh,
but
Cobra
the
Kai,
perspective,
Mike Barnes is a
yeah, he
little
gets,
bit, he gets a little bit of
yeah,
redemption. So everybody kind of does that. It has a trend of that.
but I think perspective is a big thing in this entire series, because you and I, we've had the debates before about the perspective of, is Daniel a good guy or a bad guy, and is Johnny good or bad. Perspective in this one here, there's the scene where Daniel's talking about what he's learned from reading in the book, and he's like, his perspective is from an American point of view. He says, yeah, 15,000 Americans killed here. And then Miyagi's like, yeah, 150,000 Okinawans and Japanese. And it's just like, it just goes to show, it's like, we're thinking of something from a US standpoint, but Miyagi's obviously a very well thought of and loved character from what at that point was the other side of the war. And it's just the perspective that gets that they showed it from. And I think that that's something that's really done well in this series. And that's why I really hope, in because obviously there's not really much else they can bring back from these movies, unless they bring back bring Jackie Chan or Smith into it, or Hilary Swank, obviously, into Cobra
That
Kai.
was
There's
what
not
I
a
was hoping, but like, I mean, we won't know till the next season and
Yeah, so it's like we don't really know where that's going, but I hope they don't redeem Terry Silver's character. I really hope they don't, because not that I don't like him. I mean, that's not that I think we need to have
I
a
think I
true
like
villain that
him
has to.
too. Like I like him, which kind of probably pisses me off a little bit that,
I like him as a bad guy.
Right. But he's got a personality and he makes me laugh at times. Like he's an asshole,
Yeah.
He's like, and he's a rich asshole who he's like Bruce Wayne if Bruce Wayne wanted to be an asshole, and do karate stuff or whatever.
But now, taking this with Karate Kid 2, with Chosen, him being so bad, and they rehabbed his character in Cobra Kai, which I'm still kind of a little up in the air on, saying, well, is it good or bad? But I like what they've done with his character in the sense of how he interacts with Daniel in American ways and stuff like that in Cobra Kai, because it's kind of fun, if you will,
Right.
in there. But it's like, still part of me wishes we could get some of that, and they've had glimpses of it, some of that menacing Chosen character back, because it's like something that they made it. I was reading somewhere that Chosen's the only character that actually got a strike in on Miyagi in any of them, that
Yeah.
actually physically got a strike in. And granted, Miyagi's back was turned at the moment, but still, nevertheless, Chosen was a really good villain.
I
And I
don't know
mean,
though. I don't know if that counts because I think there is a scene in part three where they do kick Miyagi, but there's like two people attacking at once, and one of them's able to get like a hit on Miyagi, but Miyagi still can fight, or whatever. I don't know.
Well,
I'd have to rewatch
I'm
that.
watch three. I'm be watching three. I can't remember three as well, obviously, as one and two. But
Yeah.
just the way that they handled Chosen's character, he's part of the rich family. He's not a family member, but he's a top student. Sato's top student. But I mean, that he's even conning the local people by those weights, having wrong weight things broke that, like for the, when the guy was selling carrots, and Daniel snapped the one weight because it was fake. I was like, he's conning people there. I was like, he's just a bad guy.
He's a terrible human at that time.
I really like that they point out that his problem, he's like, my problem, he just wanted somebody to be angry with at the beginning, it seemed. But he felt in his own perspective that he had a right to be angry with Daniel and vice versa, because he comes in from over out of the country. He's related to, or he's with Miyagi. So that's bad. He's coming into his territory.
Yeah, first of all,
and he's got his girl. Here he's going after a girl that he may or may not like. And it's like, I can understand his anger, but he's very misguided.
I'm glad it wasn't an ex-girlfriend, like, or whatever, like, just, it would be too much, like, doing it again. But yeah, Kimiko doesn't even seem like she's interested in him whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I don't blame her. You know, we've kind of gone all over the place, but I do want to talk, there's a couple really great scenes in the movie that are, you know, kind of beneficial for him as a character, for Daniel. One of them's being the I forgot what it was, but it was some kind of thing that just flew down.
Oh, that like, it was like the Fisher thing, the fisherman hook things or whatever.
Yeah. And so, like, apparently it was a training thing where they would shoot it off, and then you would just learn how to just maneuver, you know. And he kind of teaches him to do that with the
drum technique.
Yeah, it's like, you know, basically, which we never got that, like, we never got like a training montage like we did in part one where he's training with that. I don't think we see him actually do that. However,
he does say ask to the drum, and or he says ask drum, because Miyagi has that training sequence. It's not a sequence, but he has a training moment where he's talking to him about how Miyagi and his dad was there at that place, and they did, and Miyagi did the same thing that Daniel did. There was some humor in it, but it's also training. It's also evolution of characters. So
exactly.
Cool.
Did you know that the Karate Kid Nintendo game was basically Karate Kid Part 2? Did you ever play the Nintendo game?
But gosh, that was 35 years ago. I don't even remember it.
They had stuff like, they had the ice block. You know, you had to break the ice. You also had to do the, you know, you had to, and I could never, ever, you'd have to time it right with the, like, the B and A, and the B and A, and B and A, where you could, like, swing, you know, away from the thing. And I always got knocked down, you know, into the water or whatever. And stuff like that. I always thought that was fucking cool. I'm glad it didn't ever, like, go right through my stomach or something like that. That'd be a little morbid. But for a Nintendo game, but
I'm gonna probably have to look up on YouTube, because I know YouTube, I see a lot of clips of old video games, people playing old video games. So it's like they probably have something
is,
like that.
Yeah, all of it's Karate Kid Part 2. It's got all the Okinawan stuff, and I think you also catch flies with chopsticks, and you know, and but these are like, because like the normal levels are you just kicking people while walking around, and just like people come at you and you just kick them, and then, you know, whatever. And then you go to the next thing. And once you get to the next thing, then you have that like next thing to beat or whatever to get more points, you know, which is like the chopsticks or the breaking the ice and stuff like that. Man, makes me want to bust out my Nintendo and play.
I got my Nintendo right over here. It's put away in a bin.
No, if I can't hook it up to my flat ass TV.
Yeah, I probably need one of those probably a converter or something, but
I might. I might have to talk to some people about that. I would love to bust it. I think I have my Nintendo somewhere.
I wonder, well, Nintendo probably doesn't have I don't remember them having the best sound, obviously, but the sound that was in Karate Kid 2, I really liked the music that they used.
The music, I remember, but it was not the music. Like it was like, was it 8-bit version of that?
Oh, okay, yeah. So,
yeah, it sounds terrible. You know?
Yeah, but I know in the movie I really liked it, and I think that really put it in a very removed place from Karate Kid 1. So I think
it did have the same sort of like there was a lot of there was a lot of callbacks to the first one with the music. So there's a lot of some of the stuff, if you listen, it sounds either very similar or it's the exact same music from the first movie. Because it's like the theme of Karate Kid is Bill Conti's score just sounds fucking phenomenal. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's like they play the song that's playing, that Chosen plays in the car when they've taken picking them up at the airport, is the same song that's played in one of the scenes in the first Karate Kid. It's just sort of background music and stuff like that. So I think that there is parallels, if you will,
Yeah.
for it. And obviously, Bill Conti being involved in it, Karate Kid in a lot of ways is like sort of in the Rocky mentality of movies and stuff like that. And it's kind of funny that the title song, The Glory of Love, was originally created for a Rocky movie, but got rejected from a Rocky movie from Rocky IV. It got used here instead. And I think that Glory of Love fits perfectly with this because, I mean, it's definitely mid-80s. Karate Kid was dominating. I mean, this one made more than part one at the box office. I mean, it's to me, it just hit.
There was
So
a song that I believe, I don't know if it was in the first Karate Kid or both, I believe that was like used in Picnic at Hanging Rock. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie,
oh
but
yeah.
yeah, but if you like listen, it's very similar because I was like, that
Yeah,
sounds like Karate Kid, I think.
I saw that in a film class or something a long time ago. Yeah,
Great
so
movie. It's a
yeah.
Criterion. We'll probably be doing it for Criterion Watch at some point.
It's a different type of watch, but yeah.
It's a little
Yeah.
bit more depressing and a little bit
Yeah.
more
Yeah.
sad,
Yeah.
but it's a great movie. It's really well done. It's nothing like this, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in this one they had the music, some more with the music. They had the 50s dance, which was kind of cool, having a lot of that type of music. And then where they're sitting at the table, Kumiko and Daniel, they play Earth Angel. It's like a New Edition version of Earth Angel, but that's played in the background. I'm like, I love that song. Just and
Earth Angel, that
I
was like what,
yeah,
Back to the Future
Back
used
to the Future,
that
yeah. Yeah,
and
so it was like same years, but New Edition did a remake of it at the time, so obviously it was a little bit different. But it just in the music, another thing I was going with the music is it fit the culture there, and they tried to do a lot of the just like the tea ceremony, the ceremonies and stuff like that, the tea ceremonies. The when the father passed, so the lanterns out on the water and stuff like that. So it seemed authentic. I have no reason to believe that those weren't authentic ceremonies done in Okinawan culture. It
I
just
did
seemed to
look
fit
it up
really
a little
well.
bit, and yes, there that it, all of that does exist. It's an old custom, you know, an old tradition. I don't know if they would be done in a castle, like or whatever that thing, like
The
you know,
bone dance.
the bone dance. Yeah, but if you do look it up online, like the bone dance is a real thing, you know, and everything. I always thought it was bone dance, like
Oh.
BONE. And no, it's BON, bone
Yeah,
dance, you
bone
know.
dance, yeah.
And
And she talked about that throughout the and then it was a nice transition point for when Sato's like, what else do you ask and stuff like that, and then he's like, your student becomes my teacher.
yeah.
And so it shows the evolution of that character,
And
but
he
it
says, you
also,
know, the bone dance will be at the castle from now and forever, you know.
yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, like I just thought that was awesome. That was
Yeah.
nice.
Then they're at the dance, and the shot where well, at first Daniel gets to see that the girl that he saved and all, and there's a nice sentimental moment with her. But it all leads up to where Kumiko gets to do the dance in front of everybody. So she's reliving, she's living one of her dream set scenarios at that moment. But the shot where Chozon comes down on the triangle thing behind her while she's dancing, and then it shows Daniel's view of it. To me, that's always one of the great shots. It's because it's done so well.
Because you were not expecting it the first time, at least. And I was expecting it again, like I remembered it. even though I hadn't seen it in years, I still remember that scene. I remember him coming off and sliding down and grabbing her. It's almost like a pirate scene or something. Like you see in the pirate movies where the guy just slides down off the for the ship and stuff and lands down. But yeah, so he does that and it gets really like dark. Like he was gonna kill the girl and everything, and I was like,
Well,
holy
yeah,
crap.
because it's like, and that's what Miyagi tells him. He's like, this isn't tournament. This is for real. I mean, this is life or death. I mean, it's, but they bookend the end of it with what the mercy, and this actually is a good thing with the comment you said at the beginning, why Daniel said to Miyagi, he's like, why didn't you kill him and stuff like that. At that moment, at the end of the movie, Daniel had a chance to do that to Chosen, but he said no. He's like, I'm like, live or die. And he's like, die, man. He's like, wrong. So
Wrong answer.
it parallels that, but it also shows growth in Daniel's character. So
Shows
I think
growth,
that.
and yes, you're right. So it shows the growth of Daniel saying, why didn't you kill him? Too, he had an opportunity. Like if he had killed him, I don't think anybody would have arrested him or anything. I don't think anything would have happened. I think because but he chose not to do it because first of all, it would have made him just as bad as the bad guy if he had done that. Like he would have become the bad guy. Two, it shows that line of the person with forgiveness and or without forgiveness in their heart, which was Chosen. Chosen did not have forgiveness in his heart. Throughout the whole time, he's had all this time to just say, "I'm sorry," or "I like, I forgive you for." Whatever, and all that stuff, and he has no forgiveness in his heart. So yeah, it definitely bookends well of like the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. They set that up, and once again, that's excellent writing. Like you don't get that anymore, I don't think. Look at any movie you've seen recently, and tell me, does the beginning of the movie sort of mirror the end of the movie at all? And is there okay, I'll give you an example, one that did do that. And I figured this out later, because I was like, because the theme of the movie is supposed to happen the first 5 minutes, right? And we find that out with Honor, first 5 minutes of this movie is, them attacking and whatever. So in what is it? In Back to the Future, there's a line where Principal Strickland is saying, your whole your whole family, it has been, a bunch of losers. Nothing's gonna change, right? Or whatever. And do you remember what Marty McFly says?
He says, well, history's about to change or
History's
something.
about to change. Did you ever catch that? Did you ever think about that? That
Well,
literally set up the movie?
yeah, it sets it up, and it pays off showing the growth of Marty's character at the end from the beginning.
Exactly.
I mean, Marty was kind of a brat at the beginning, but he evolved because he saw what happened there. I mean, there's a lot more angles in Back to Future because time travel just presents that for a lot of pieces. But with Karate Kid 2, it was very straightforward with that point, showing that Daniel did evolve. And that, so on that note, obviously it is Daniel's story. That's Daniel's story. But Miyagi's story is that he had the honor. He was honorable and stepped away instead of fighting to the death for something back then. He came back to honor his family, and only the only thing that could ever get him to fight would be his close family member in danger, and it's only to protect them. Or at the end, he was ready to fight Sato because the village
Yeah, because he was going to
was
destroy the
village
village,
yeah and
which
he's just like,
the village to him is family. You know,
yeah.
that's
So that
his.
so that's that that's that shows Miyagi's place in the whole thing. And to me, this movie has always been right there. And I'm glad you, 'cause I know when we did the Cobra Kai podcast, I know you were a little different take on Karate Kid 2 at the time. So seeing it, and that's something that's really good too, just in general, is sometimes don't close off something that's so not you, just in anybody in general.
Right. No, I get
If
it.
if you don't like something at one point in life, you try it again in the future, especially if it's resonated that much with so many people, maybe there's something that in my mind that I missed. I was like, let me give it another shake. Let me give it another try in a different. And as a kid versus as an adult, I see stuff totally different, and that's what makes it so
Yeah,
so
I mean,
impactful.
once again, as a kid, I didn't care about history. I didn't care about going to different places like this. Like, this was not something that would have, should have, interested me, right? Or whatever, just because of who I was. But as I grew older and matured, just like Daniel, grows up and matures at some point, I sort of started looking at these things. And I said, I definitely want to watch this again because, I'm going to do the whole thing, and maybe I'll see something differently. That's why I want to watch the remake, because maybe I'll see something differently that nobody else sees. Most likely not, but maybe my thoughts will be different. But it's universally panned as one of the worst, and not even in a like, not even in like it's so bad, it's so good kind of thing, that I have a low expectation, so I have a feeling that hopefully it'll go at least go higher than my low expectation. That's all I care about.
Well, sometimes that's what happens with some movies. It's like if you don't see it right away, like we were saying earlier, and you see it with such low expectation, it might be better. Or but
No.
then on the flip side, if you go into something you're expecting everybody saying it's so great, you might be like, what am I missing?
All right.
So it's
Somebody just like tried to go in my room, and I'm like, ah, yeah. So,
Well, make sure they don't have a spear or something like
no,
that.
it was my dog, I think was, yep. Hold on. He wants to come in. You want to say hello to Rocky?
Strike first, strike fast.
Come on, Rocky. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come say hello to Joe. You like Joe. Yeah,
Now,
you, well, you like.
with Rocky, is he named after like Rocky the
No.
movie? No,
No.
okay.
He is he's named after the Great Rocky Mountains, I think.
Oh,
Something like that.
okay.
But you know,
Okay, because
no, I but he but I think he was named after Rocky, sort of also, because my dad does like the Rocky movies, but that wasn't really, because he's got a full name. I think it's something Rocky Mountain or something like that.
Okay. Well, in the sense of Karate Kid does have a lot of Rocky
Yeah, there you go.
parallels.
So
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah,
so
so that's a
you sort of work with that. Yes, you do. He's
so
such a smart.
it's cool that you've seen this in a different light. And I'm thinking I might, 'cause it's been a while since I've really sat down from the beginning to end on Karate Kid 3. I'm probably gonna give it another shake, but it's like there's some things about it that I clearly remember that take away my love for, or puts it in a different place. It's just than one and two, and I just thought this was a straight good bookend of stories. And I thought once they did three and four, it was more trying to reach for money than anything else. I mean, obviously it's all money because it's Hollywood, but there is the first two to me have a very creative storytelling that makes a lot of sense. And that I was so excited when they brought a couple of these characters back in Cobra Kai. And that's one thing with Cobra Kai that's so wonderful. It's the it has the nostalgic element. Now there is a little cheese element, or a lot of cheese element at times too in it. But it also tells storytelling in a TV style versus a theatrical style, so they can have more time to develop characters. And they get to deal with the perspectives that you couldn't, the arguments that we have with part one with Johnny and Daniel, that's the centerpiece of Cobra Kai at the beginning and throughout, but is there differences? But in part season one, two, and three, it's front and center. But bringing some of these old characters back and doing it in the right way. And I think they have, for the most part, done that in the right way. There's been a few things, like I said earlier, that rubbed me a little bit, but that's what I'm looking forward to see how they close the series out and how they're doing this new movie sequel
Yeah,
out.
I'm wondering because like the new movies, being called Karate Kid, I hope that changes, closer to when they start putting it out, because I think it's going to, because I don't think it is like I think it's another story because it involves Daniel and whatever Jackie Chan's character was named. But
He was like a
anyway,
janitor or something, I think, or right. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, to kind of finish up with this story, because I mean, I like once again, I really liked it. But my favorite scene in the whole movie is the ice block scene, because the whole time they're like, oh, like he's talking like, oh, you gotta look how he's standing. Of course, he's not gonna hit the blocks that way. Blah 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 blah. Right? And then they're like, well, why don't you do it? And he's like, no. Right? And they're like, come on, you put your money where your mouth is, kind of thing like that. And he's like, no. And then he's like, I don't have the money for this kind of stuff. And Chosen wants him to do it because Chosen thinks he can't do it because
Broken
Ch
ice or broken neck.
yeah, broken ice or broken neck. And then Miyagi comes and says, and you think, oh man, Miyagi's gonna get him out of trouble because that's what Miyagi does, right?
Doubles down with the
He
offer.
doubles down. I mean, that's just the greatest scene. That's so
Yeah.
Miyagi, because
So,
Miyagi
yeah.
is sort of, you don't know where he's gonna go, so.
And those and that is a great scene. To me, what impacts me is all the little things that, and we've talked about, like when they go to look at with the swing for the training thing, or when they're just walking around the town, or the introduction of Daniel to Kumiko, when they show up at this doorstep, and Miyagi says hi, and then Kumiko looks over at Daniel, and she just sort of freezes for a minute. And you could
Yeah.
tell it's because she's smitten by him. It's
Yeah.
things like that. There's chemistry,
Sorry,
and the
Rocky wants to go
chemistry.
outside. One second. He is being a little monster today.
We'll have a few edits in this, huh?
We won't. I'm just leaving that shit in
Okay,
there.
okay.
I don't care.
But what I was getting at with the chemistry. Each of the characters and the way that both of the tea scenes and how the one of them was having the tea scene, Miyagi and Yukie was having the tea, and it showed Kumiko and Daniel looking on, and you could see that they had a bit of a love. I guess it was just a summer love sort of type of thing because it never established anything long term to what we talked about earlier. But all these little pieces, the chemistry was just perfect. And this was Kumiko, this the actress Tamlin Tamita. This is her first movie. I mean,
Wow.
it's like, I mean, and from my understanding, she became like great friends with the one who played Yukie. They
Oh,
did a
well,
few
there you
things,
go. That's.
and she was devastated when the actress when she passed. But the when the
Oh,
mom,
yeah, that's
or
right.
not the
Well,
mom, but the
she
aunt, or yeah,
yeah, the one
yeah,
that Yuki,
Nobu, yeah, she
right?
passed. They were supposedly they were filming a movie or just finished filming a movie together. And she passed suddenly. And it
That's
was
a
like
bummer.
2002 or something like that, like 20 years ago. But to me, this movie just has such a heart in it. And I mean, the first Karate Kid did as well. And I think that that's why they go. There's parallels, but yet it has its own unique story. And to me, that's what made it. It brought so much new to the table. It wasn't just rehashing stuff to rehash it. And they showed. And the crane kick was a perfect example. They tried to use one thing and it got shut down quick. So it's like he had to use new stuff. So to me, excellent double feature for anybody who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it, I'm jealous because I'd love to be able to see this for a first time again.
Holy shit.
But
I might have worked with her. I might
with
have had a
who?
scene with her.
With who?
Kumiko.
Oh, Tamlin Tamita? Tamita?
Tamlin Kamita, yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, she has like
Well,
120
no.
or 150 credits or something like that.
So when I was in LA, I was in a movie called The Right Mom, where I played a I was in a crap. classroom scene, right? And it was the best scene ever. I've kind of described this in other podcasts before, but like one funny thing happens is like there's the professor, you know, who's giving back our tests. It's me and Jackie or one of the two like classmates, and it's the main girl and her and this other girl, an Asian woman who's like sitting like next to me. I didn't know. I did not know.
It might have been her.
I might have most likely been her. They have a scene like right after that, you know, that I've seen the movie and it's I bought
Interesting.
the movie. I need to go rewatch that because I'm and you can see me in it briefly, you know, like I'm kind of like I don't know if you can see my full face or not, but you see the side of me and everything. And I don't know
Well,
why
if
I
it is,
was.
that'd be an interesting point that we could discuss on Cobra Kai, the
Oh, I gotta
bringing
find
it all
that.
together, the whole series together,
Oh
because
yeah.
obviously because she's in Cobra Kai too. I doubt she'll be in the new season, but I mean, I don't know if story wise there'd be a reason to bring her back, but
Yeah, so yeah, the way that it happened was like the professor was handing out grades to everybody, right? Or whatever. And you know, he hands it blah blah and he talks to the girl about like you know he's gonna help her with some extra help to get this you know because the story is good but it's you know it's not as you know she could be better kind of thing. Then he comes to me and he goes, "Oof," and he puts my thing down on, and I didn't know he was gonna do that, right? So I was like all sad and then he goes no he gets to the next one and then the director Roxy who's fucking awesome. Loved her to death. She was just started laughing and call cut, you know, or whatever. And so we did it again. And next time he did it a little bit differently, you know, or whatever. And none of that was left in the movie, unfortunately. That was all because that was so silly, you know, that it just didn't get. It was man. I'm like, ah, what I wouldn't give to have that like scene, like, and in my reel, even though it wasn't actually used in the movie or whatever. But I think yeah, I think she was sitting like next to me and I didn't it's so funny. I've acted with people that I had no idea who they were and I treated them like they were other actors like period. Vanessa Williams from Melrose Place slash Candyman and a bunch of other stuff. The Black Vanessa Williams. She was in a Christmas one I was in. She made me really nervous because not because who she was, but she had like already yelled at everybody on the set. I don't know if I should be saying that, but like it happened and stuff. So I was like, oh God. But you
Were
know,
you cutting up? Were you cutting up to make it or have to do something, say something like that?
was I what?
Were you cutting up or acting up to where
No,
she
no.
it?
It was like she got the extras were brought in. And stuff like
Gotcha.
randomly to like the house that we were staying at, and she thought we were making too much noise, so she comes over to us and goes, shh. And we're like, I mean, I was not saying a damn thing. I was just on my phone, you know. So I was like, oh, she's already doing that. Then we walk up, and she made me nervous, you know, from the very beginning because I was like, oh no, it's that lady. I've gotta give a drink to her, you know, as a bartender. Like I gotta give it a drink to the lady who's already shushed us, you know. Like, but in her, you know, defense, yeah, I bet it did seem like it was loud, maybe, you know, but nobody could hear anything, and we didn't think we were loud, you know. So, I mean, I think, yeah, as an actress, quiet on set, you know, like if there's say action, you shut the F up because. You know, we know this. We know with it was audio can carry. You can hear almost anything. You can hear like planes and other shit. So of course you might be able to hear a bunch of extras chit chatting outside. But they didn't. They the AD said, you know, he didn't hear anything. So whatever. Anyway, sorry. I hate saying that because I don't want to make her seem like a diva, but like she.
So that was somebody else. That wasn't Tamlin Tamita, though. So
No,
I
no,
mean,
no, no. Tamlin
yeah,
Tomato. I didn't even
it's
realize
a
who she was until just now, literally. And then I'm like, oh fuck. But I was very happy to work with her, because now I'm like, oh shit, I have a scene with her. I guess.
But for me, if it like a summer romance, one thing, but something else to me was like when I was watching Cobra Kai is I kind of wish that there would have been a reignition of their, but they couldn't because then okay, Daniel's married and all that.
See,
It
if they
just
had left him
wouldn't
single
right.
like his wife wanted,
Yep, exactly. Or they broke up the family or something like that on Cobra Kai. I mean, some of the stuff that goes on in Cobra Kai with Daniel's character, I it doesn't hit perfectly. But
I mean,
what
he's
can you
gotten
do?
to
But
see all his ex-girlfriends. Elizabeth Shue shows up, and and likes Johnny for some reason again. Like, there's that spark, and I'm like, that was
Well, it seemed
strange.
like she was through a little bit of a rough time, and it seemed like Johnny, he might still have the he still has the flawed edges, the rough edges, but he's you could tell that he's a good guy. He just makes, but I think that where Johnny's character is going in Cobra Kai is really good. That character, I like that, but of course, by the time what we might we have a different take by the time Cobra the season comes out, and this is supposed to be the
Yeah,
final season, I believe.
kind of want to rewatch it before the next season comes out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping
Yeah.
that the next season comes out before the remake and sets up for the remake.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Like,
What
that
you
would have
should
been what I would hope, but I don't.
yeah, what you might want to do too is watch at least watch some of the scenes with these characters in it from Karate Kid 2 now that you've seen it in a recent time and see how their characters have the scenes with Kumiko are very short. I mean, there's only a couple of them. Now Chosen, obviously, you see him in a whole different
I think,
a
yeah,
whole,
and I
but
think that might
there's a lot of
be.
face off. There's a whole lot of face off though with Chosen's character in Cobra Kai that allows the anger to be flushed out, if you will. But
Yeah. I think it'll be good, because it'll be interesting to sort of, now that I've seen Karate Kid Part 2 again, I can comment and say things, because I hadn't seen Karate Kid 2 in forever that I forgot it. Like, I just remember not liking it before, and then so now that I've seen it, I'm like, oh shit, this is actually really, really good. And I mean, fantastic. I can't say yet whether it's better than part three. I'm gonna watch part three again and make up my mind, because I still love all the Mike Barnes stuff. I love can you teach me how to sweep, or whatever, that all that fun stuff. And then I absolutely have a huge crush on Robin Lively, so much so that I told her brother Jason that I had a huge crush on his sister. I loved his sister, and he was like, he thought I meant Blake, the one that's married to Ryan Reynolds, but I meant Robin. So, if I ever meet Jason again, I'll be like, I told you a while ago I really loved your sister. I meant Robin. Just hope you know.
There you go.
I grew up on Teen Witch. I do like Blake. Blake's gorgeous. Blake is absolutely beautiful. But Robin, I grew up with, like, Robin, and then Robin Lively and Megan. God, what's her? I'm blanking on names today. From Encino Man.
Oh, I know you're talking about too, because she
Yeah,
was in
Megan Ward. Ugh.
Ward, yeah.
Whew. Encino Man, she is the most gorgeous. I'm PCU and a few other things. And she's still, but like, Robin Lively and all of them are just so freaking gorgeous still. Like,
Well, I'm interested to hear your take after you watch three again, because from the writer's standpoint, from storytelling standpoint, not just from a nostalgic or pride or this or that type of thing, I think you'll understand that one and two are, to me, they're better structured films. Three has, I mean, the stuff with Kreese and with Silver, I mean, I like that. I really like that. Some of the stuff that goes on with them. Miyagi and Daniel, I don't really like the angles that they tried to, after where they built their relationship through one and two, I just thought it was kind of awkward in three. But
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
I think
honestly,
you'll see
now
it
that
a
I'm
lot
like
more.
thinking about that, like in part three, his their relationship did seem different, you know, like they weren't, he wasn't trying to teach him. It became like, because they had to separate them, they separated them and everything, and Terry is the one who does it. So it does sort of strain their relationship and kind of, but Miyagi is still Miyagi, you know, he's still there to protect him and defend his honor and do all that stuff, you know,
But
or
with what they've been through with one and two, would they really let their relationship get broken apart by some manipulations and stuff like that? And to me,
maybe, I don't
it
know. I'd
seemed a
have
little
to
forced.
I'd have to
But
watch it again and see if I think the same way. I kind of, I'll let you know. You know, we'll
there we
have
go.
a,
We'll have conversations on it at that
yeah.
point.
And I'm sure we'll bring it up back in Cobra Kai when we do that discussion, because
Yeah. Well, this is one series that I'm happy with sequels and overall that they're doing the TV series. I mean, it's kind of unique because not many. I'm trying to think of anything that had movies that did like a couple movies now, 30 years later or 40 years later, are doing a TV series on. I'm
You
trying to think if there's
should
anything else.
watch, the ones that you haven't watched, like the remake and everything, before we
Oh yeah.
do the Cobra Kai, because then you can tell us, you know, also like where you see the series. Because I think what's going to end up happening with the Cobra Kai thing is it's going to be a recap of the first whatever the groups of movies and stuff, and talking to everybody individually about their feelings on the series and how it became Cobra Kai, you know,
Yeah.
and everything. So I think that's what's going to end up happening. So there's going to be a recap, then slash Cobra Kai together, you know, as one episode. And I mean,
Might
it'll.
even get two out of it, considering the topic and the length of the series and how many people were involved in
If I
it.
can, stretch it out, we'd have to make sure everybody's there. Like it'd have to be an hour show or something each, and then just do it for 2 hours discussion or whatever, which can easily be done with me and John just together. Period. We are John Ward and I just talk, you know, movie stuff like all like for hours, you know, or whatever. We have to literally stop ourselves and
Does
say.
he have any feelings on outside of part one, where his takes are on the series?
I'll have to ask him tonight on the we're
Oh, the other
reviewing Evil Evil
Evil
Dead
Dead 2.
2, but I don't even know, we may have to postpone it because he's doing another podcast and it's running late.
Gotcha.
The host is running late, so we'll see. If we postpone it, that's fine. I'm all right with that right now, honestly. Weirdly enough, because it's not, I guess it's due on Thursday, Wednesday. So as long as we get done before Wednesday, I'll be happy. But yeah, it's I'll ask him. I'll see what his thoughts are. But I'm gonna guess that obviously number one is number one. Number two might be number two, and it going up there, and then number. I know he hates the reboot, you know, like with a passion. So, yeah, I'm excited to hear what he has to say, because, you know, he was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh man, I want to do part two too. And I was like, I can't keep just having you on like everything like there. Like I'm trying to have like each person like have another guest and then have everybody come on. I thought that would be pretty cool. So,
Well, my love of part two is I doubt that anybody else in your direct circle probably has a passion for part two as I do, compared to other parts of the series, even the original. I mean, I'm one to say this is just it's one and two together to me.
for sure.
People one might have some stronger elements of structure in place, but one and two together, it's just in the fact that like we talked about the beginning the transfer between part one and two, it just flawlessly moves forward. And I just, to me, it's one long movie to me.
Honestly, I kind of wish they didn't do the flashback stuff in the beginning
Yeah, there
and
was
they
really no
just
need for
skipped
it
it to
because
the thing, because then it would have felt like it literally went right into, you know, went into the thing. But you know, whatever.
I mean, because the movie was long enough as it was, they didn't need it for filler or anything.
No,
it was an hour 50, hour 55.
Yeah,
so.
It was a little long, but it went by pretty freaking quick. Like there wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't that bad. So I liked it.
Yep.
All right,
That's
everybody.
good.
Well, I think that's it for this Main Street episode. I do want to do, so we talked about it, I think John and I discussed it, I think after Karate Kid, I do want to do the Ghostbusters franchise. So you will definitely be back for that and everything. So and it'll be funny because I mean obviously we just you know, this new one's coming out and we're gonna watch that. So I'm really, really stoked about it. I can't wait. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun to just I just can't wait to see that. But Karate Kid is my jam, and I can't wait to keep discussing this, you know, every month. Bringing you guys, we didn't do it last month because I got really, really busy and then wasn't able to ask Joe. I wasn't even able to ask you to come on last month because I was super busy, and I don't know how busy you were, but like that last month was not fun. So this month seemed to be, I was able to get more things figured out and everything. And I can't believe this month's almost over. Like, it's like, dude, can 2024 slow down? You know, I think literally.
Yeah, you need to say some of that, like in like Sato's voice or something like that. Be like, where he was there, do it,
yeah.
dude, slow it,
slow down.
Because he had such
neck.
A the voice was so deep, it was just so impactful. I don't know. I just
I love Sato. He was my favorite character. Yeah. I wish there had been more of him, honestly, because he was such a fun, you know, fun character. He had so much level of depth with him that, you know, that even I think honestly he was a better villain than Kreese in a way, you know, because he had more layers to him. Because Kreese, all we see is him one dimensional, like he's very, you know, whatever, two dimensional, whatever you want to call it, but he's just very much, you know, he needs he but man, there's so many different layers, and I think that came from the success of Karate Kid and Robert Mark Kamen becoming, just from that success, becoming a better writer too, you know, and able to take it a different direction and realize what worked, what didn't work, what he wanted to change, and what he probably wanted to change a lot was the villains, you know.
And he did it quick. They did it quick too, because I think they said production started 10 days after the first one got released or something like that. It was green lit like 10 days after, or it started
nice.
Pre-production and stuff like that. So I mean,
that's
having
usually what happens, because like Scream 2 was the same way. Once Scream was, you know, the hit, they made that money.
Yep.
Scream 2 got greenlit, and Kevin Williamson already was like booking work and all this other shit, and they were like, fuck you, they actually locked him away and told him he had to write, because he was on contract with them if he didn't write and all that shit. And I was like, oh my god, when I heard he actually got locked in a room and had to, you know, had to write, it almost feels like he had like a gun to his head or something, you know.
Yeah, well,
sounds crazy.
Well, us and more often than not, when they do quick sequels, it's usually a failure. But in these cases, with the Screams and with Karate Kid, it was the exact opposite. It's what they struck gold twice in a very short window. Because Scream 2 was within 2 years at the most. If it might have been the following year, I can't remember. It was really quick.
So it came out in '96, but didn't hit like things to like 97, like theater video stores and stuff. And I think 98 was when Scream 2 was out. So
yeah, so it was 2 years, just like Karate Kid.
Yeah, and I remember
Karate Kid was
that.
84 to 86.
Yep, I remember that, because when it came out in the theaters, I wasn't allowed to go see it because it was rated R, and my parents like were very strict on that. But they did let me watch it at home, right? But they let me watch it in the hotel, that I was staying at. Back then, I don't know if they still do this, but back then they had like a movie channel that showed movies that were just coming out of the theater that was still that wasn't out on video yet. You know, so you
Well, now
saw it
they do it
wait.
almost day and date almost. It's like theatrical, and now it's in the hotels. It's almost identical. But
Oh, really?
the first Scream I saw in the theater, I was working in the theater, and I put one of the prints together, and I was able to I watched that first scene, but then I had to get back to work, and I was like, I don't want to step away
Yeah.
because after seeing the first scene of Scream, just is it's one of the
Yeah,
main horror
you
scenes.
don't expect that. Yeah.
So
It
I had to wait
was
a few hours to see it in its entirety that night, but I saw it the same night. But
Well,
yeah, so.
it's funny how just casting can make a difference, you know, because Drew Barrymore dying in Scream. Oops, spoiler alert, if anyone has seen Scream,
But
you know
if
what
anybody
that's.
hasn't seen Scream yet, then they need to start watching some movies.
Yeah, because like that's like sort of a classic film. But anyway, so yeah, Drew Barrymore dying in Scream was the biggest like, whoa, you know. And honestly, we just did a podcast on Freddie Got Fingered, and Drew Barrymore pops in that too. And I think she was dating Tom Green at the time.
Well, that would make sense there, probably. She probably was
Yeah,
involved in the production of producing of
I
it
don't
or
think she
something too.
was. I don't think she
Oh, really?
produced, but she was in a couple scenes, and I was like, wow, what a weird cameo to have. And then I saw like an outtake of like them making out, you know, randomly, like their characters just start making out, and I'm like, they got to be dating, because there's no way
Yeah,
they
they
would
were.
just do that, actors, you know, I don't know though, maybe, but that's what I came up with anyway. But it was really random to see her in that. So just casting Drew Barrymore in a movie like randomly pop up like that kind of shocks audiences.
And in this one, the shock with Karate Kid 2, the shock is that that there was the closure of the characters at the very beginning, the Cobra Kais, or they were in the credits, they were just listed as the Cobras. They weren't as Cobra
Oh,
Kai, it
were
was just
they?
like as in the closing credits, it
I
said
did
as
not
the
see that. I
Cobras,
didn't notice that, but that's
just
funny.
as the Cobras. So, and then obviously Kreese, and then the ref and the announcer, everybody basically from minus the mom and Allie were there in that scene at the beginning of part two. That was it's from the end of part one. And
Well,
it
it was
was a
nice to
nice
see
wrap up
all
of
of them
that.
back, and then, you know, and from what John Ward told me, and I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I believe this is what he said, was that that ending for that ending with what is it, or the beginning of part two was actually supposed to be the ending to part one, but they deleted that and put it into part two.
They deleted it from the script, or they didn't film it until the beginning of part two. 'Cause there's like an urban legend that the beginning of two was filmed with one, but it was really filmed with two.
Oh,
But yeah,
okay.
there's debate, but basically a lot of the official releases say it's urban legend that it wasn't filmed with one, it was filmed with two. But
I guess I'd
you
have
know.
to look up Snopes at some point and find
Yeah,
out if that's true.
and that's a difference between now versus then. And I think the magic of film then versus now, it's like you know everything about everything prior
Yeah.
to it even coming out, which can be good to know some things, but sometimes it takes away from some of the magic sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
That's why I would stay
everybody.
that's why we stay clear of some of these stay clear of some of the spoilers on some of these new movies, because you want to just be you want to be genuinely surprised on them
Yeah.
when possible.
So people doing spoilers, once you see the movie, don't go on Facebook and tell everybody about it. Just shut the fuck up. Wait
Yeah.
for
So
tell
there's
people
nothing
that you
wrong.
liked it, but don't.
I liked it or I didn't like it. And then if somebody says why, then you can go into it in a spoiler noted post
Even
in
then,
within
I
a
don't do
post.
that, because the problem is sometimes even you're saying spoiler, then you could still accidentally see the spoiler. I would say don't do it for at least 2 to 3 weeks. If the people haven't gone to the theater see it in 3 weeks, that's literally, you know, the meaning that they just don't want to, like, because there's no reason somebody for 3 weeks can't go to the theater to watch it. you know, or whatever.
So would it be all right to say, like, right now, it'd be like, would it be too early to spoil the ending of Gone with the Wind? I'm just
I
kidding.
mean, I don't
It's only
think,
980 years ago.
what's that guy's name?
Rhett Butler, Rhett.
Rhett, I don't
Yeah.
think he gives a damn, you know, if you, you
Yeah.
know,
So yeah, but spoilers, people, just yeah, that's our moment of get soapbox moment is like, don't spoil it for people. Let
just
people
don't
enjoy
spoil
it,
it.
or yeah, because it's
We
hey.
already got like Twitter spoiling shit all the time and stuff. People going, oh, I've got inside information. And then fucking other companies have to go and say, ah, we gotta change this around because
What?
they already
Yeah.
got spoiled about that.
Yeah, I think people get some sort of weird satisfaction from doing that. And then it's like when we're talking here about Karate Kid 2. I mean, this movie was I mean, it's what, 30, almost 40 years old now. So it's just under 40 years old. So it's like, obviously, when we talk about stuff in these type of forums, I mean, you know what we're going to talk about the movie. So
Exactly.
it's a place that you're going to be expecting that conversation to happen. So I usually don't listen to podcasts on movies that I haven't seen, because it's like, I
Unless
would
I don't
expect
want
it.
to see them, like I really don't
Oh
care
yeah.
about seeing Madam Web. Like I don't think I ever will.
I did. I did, but that's a different story.
Yeah, and I just have no interest in it. So I went on that pitch meeting thing. They do like pitch meetings or whatever, and fake pitch meeting stuff, and they're funny, and they usually point out all the flaws and stuff. I'm okay with watching that, you know, because I haven't seen it and I have no interest in seeing it, and
Well, you know
you
what you're
know.
getting into, and if you pick it, you're like, okay, I don't mind being spoiled in this one
Or
because
yeah,
I'm going into it.
if you see a podcast like this and it says spoilers, you know, and then you're like, I'm gonna go listen to this, you know, right? And then you're like, oh crap, they just spoiled everything. Well, duh, we said spoilers, you know. So
Yeah.
spoilers in this movie that we spoiled the shit out of this movie. So if you haven't seen Karate Kid Part 2 and you're listening to our podcast, I don't know why, but okay, whatever. That's your fault. You know, if you're like, damn it, they told me the ending of the movie, you know. Ralph Macchio wins. You know? Like, you know, could you imagine walking out, somebody walks out of Rocky and goes, damn, Rocky didn't even win that match. Like, fuck, asshole. You know?
Well,
Man.
sometimes I leave the theater even on opening night, and I'll see, say there's two movies coming out, that I want to see, and it's like the other one's getting out, and it's like people are talking about it as they come out, and I'm like, I know that they're with their friends or whatever, and it's
And
like
they just
I'm like
watched
I'm
it, you know, so
yeah,
like.
I'm like, I understand they got to talk about it, but I try to purposely gear myself away from that conversation
Yep.
so I won't hear it and spoil it. But then it's like on Facebook and stuff like that, people just need to not do that, because that's just not,
Yeah.
it's just not. I understand, I'm hesitant to even say if I like the movie or not, because I don't want to impact, if it's something brand new, because I don't want to impact somebody else's enjoyment or put some sort of stain on it in their mindset that,
Yeah,
oh my
because
God,
they
somebody
might
really
like it. I
disliked it.
mean,
Yeah,
or
it
they
gives somebody
might not
a fresh
like it. Who
perspective.
knows?
Let a movie stand on its own or fall on its own.
But I will tell people how I really think, what I feel, and stuff. That becomes part of Indie Film Cafe is Paul and I will say our true feelings, and sometimes feel other feelings get hurt, you know, in the process. You know, some people don't like, especially directors. They're very passionate about their films and everything, and when somebody says they don't like something, it hurts their ego. You know, I hate to say it, that's what it is. It's ego. Because
But
me
they should be
personally, I don't
passionate.
care if somebody doesn't like my movie,
Yeah.
you
Well, I
know.
understand them being passionate about it, but it's put out there for consumption and people's individual judgments on it. And I think that, I know that when I do reviews with you guys on some of these movies, we don't, at least from my perspective, I know I don't take a personal, venomous look at a movie. I look at it and let it stand or fall on its own merits. And then it's like I still, at the same time, even if it's awful, I still try to either find some good in it because it's hard work making these things. I mean, making these projects.
Not
So it's
easy.
like there's a respect factor of that, but at the same time, you got to be truthful for what you just witnessed. And sometimes they're made to be made, you know, to have a certain feeling, and sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. And back to Karate Kid, it works.
I thought so too. Absolutely.
And part two, yep, one and two are top notch.
Well, thank you, Joe. This has been awesome. Everybody else, hope you guys enjoyed this and got spoiled. And join us. Well, join me next month where I'll be doing Karate Kid Part 3. Who's the special guest? We'll find out because I have somebody in mind, but we never know until about to do it. So, if not, I have another person in mind. So, it'll be fun. Like, no matter what, we're gonna have a new person. And it's going to be an interesting year, season of this stuff. And also join us for Hollywood Boulevard podcast, where Joe, myself, and Alfred Crane does our podcast. We just did Billy Madison. We're about to do what's the oh my God, I keep blanking on the name of it.
Metal, oh, I'm drawing
Megaforce.
Megaforce. I knew it
Megaforce.
was Emmy something. I
Yeah.
was like, what was it? Yeah, Megaforce.
Megaforce, which I'm excited about. I have never seen it, so who knows? I may like it, may not. We'll see. Anyway, if you guys enjoyed this, let us know. Give us a heads up, and we will talk to you soon. Until
Bye.
next
Oh,
time, bye bye.
bye.